about to do today, I think. We're a little behind, slightly, just a few lines. Nun Beis and Beis from the bottom. We were discussing Rabbi Eli, who cut down a date tree, and it was a date that wasn't yet ripe during Shavuos, and the Gemara had said that you can't do that because the pasuk in regard to Shavuos says, La'achla lo lehefsed. You could use fruits of Shavuos to eat, but you can't destroy them. And the Gemara wanted to say, well, how could you do that? You're not allowed to destroy trees. So the Gemara ended up saying is machlokas, whether, and they argued about, in particular, about in general, whether or not a unripe fruit is going to be subject to this din or not of cutting down Shavuos. If it's not yet ripe, perhaps it's a problem to cut down during Shavuos. And others say, no, if it's not ripe yet, you're allowed to cut it down during Shavuos. And the Gemara wanted to know, what is the source? How do you know whether or not an unripe fruit is the subject to Shavuos or not? They brought a raya from a discussion regarding a grape, an unripe grape. So the Gemara said, well, just like we have an opinion of Rabbi Yossi that an unripe grape is subject to the Isurim of Arla and the Isurim of Shavuos, so to any other fruit, even the dates of our context, any other fruit, there's going to be that same machlokas, whether or not, if it's unripe, so according to Rabbi Yossi and his whole group, it's going to be a problem of cutting down during Shavuos. However, others, Rabbi Eli, in that opinion, the others, Rabbi Eli, would say you are allowed to cut down an unripe any fruit, even though the Gemara had a discussion about grapes, they extrapolated that to any type of fruit. So the Gemara now, 1, 2, 3, 5 lines from the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, challenges this and says, "Maskiv lover of Simi mina hardai." Rav Simi posed the following shaila: "Mi pligi Rabbanan aled Rav Yosi b'shar ilanos?" Do the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eli, in that opinion, do they really argue on Rabbi Yosi in general that all trees, any tree that has a fruit and the fruit is unripe, is there really a machlokas whether or not you're allowed to cut it down or not? It seems from the following that everyone would agree you cannot cut down an unripe fruit. The only machlokas is regarding a grape. But any other fruit that second begins to grow, you cannot cut it down. And therefore, we have to explain, Rabbi Eli, how was Rabbi Eli able to cut down that date tree? So let's see this question. V'hatnan, may masayin kotzin esay lanos b'shvius. At what point are you not allowed to cut down the trees and during the Shavuos year? Beishame omim kol ha'ilanos, every single tree, I don't care what type of tree, mishayotziu. The second the fruits start to come out, you can no longer cut it down during Shavuos. I don't care how big, I don't care how ripe. Beis Hillel Omrim, he distinguishes. Hacharuvim mishyishusu, the carob trees, when they start to, on the carob, they start to have this chain-looking design in the back. That's enough where it grew. Then you can no longer cut it down prior to that one can. When it comes to gefanim, when it comes to grapes, mishyagriu, which Rashi tells us, the top line of Rashi, mishigadlu hanavim ktas, they get a little bit big, v'nikru girua, it's called girua at that stage. V'hazesim, I just point out one thing, halach l'maisa, Mishagriu, this is regarding Shavuos. So what stage is a grape able, are you not allowed to cut it down anymore? When it starts to get to a certain size, which I think the post can say, when you start to see the seed inside, you can see the pit a little bit from the outside.
White date says, I think.
What does it say?
The Mishnah says that something lavan it's a
thing. Oh, right? Gemara is about to tell us exactly thing also. So it comes very halacha l'maisa. You're not allowed to say ha'etz until a grape gets to this size. So some post can say one should not eat grapes because you never know the right size of a grape. Anyways, Vazesim, Beis Hillel continues to say, olives, mishianitsu, when there is an outer shell, a nate, it's called, begins to develop on the outside of the olive, that's when it's considered an olive, and you can no longer cut it down. So, on that's the machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Again, Beis Shammai says, any fruit that starts to grow on a tree, you can't cut it down. Beis Hillel says, it depends between, there's a difference between a grape, between an olive, and between a carob. Vishar kalin, on any other tree, mishiyotziu, any other tree when it starts to grow any size fruit, even a date, the case that we're talking about in the beginning, even a date is going to be a problem to cut it down the second it starts to come out. And v'amar Rav Asi, hu boser, hu girua, hu pul halavim. So when we're talking about the grape, the size of grape, it's called girua, but it's also called a boser, and it's also called a pul halavim. The Gemara does this often, says, pul halavim takadaitach, do you really think that a grape is the same thing as this type of bean, like a white bean? I don't know exactly what it is. So the Gemara says, it doesn't mean to say it's really a pul halavim, el ema kishiuro ki pul halavim, the size of pul halavim, the size of this type of white bean. So either way, Rav Asi is just defining for us further, what size grape is it? It has to be a... it's girua, or it's which is equivalent to a boser, which is equivalent to the size of pul halavim. That's the size of a grape. So now the Gemara says, "Man shmasla d'amar boser in smadarlo." Who is the opinion that tells us a grape is considered a grape and you can't cut it down when it gets the size of a boser? But if it's less than that, it's called a smadar. We saw on the previous page when only a smadar, which is smaller, you can cut it down. That's the Rabbanan. So this opinion here, this machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, is working within the opinion of Rabbanim. Yet we still see v'kasani shar kol ha'ilanos mishiyotziu. But any other fruit, including a date tree, the moment the date begins to grow, you cannot cut it down. So that rejects the first opinion of the previous page. So again, why was Rabbi Elai able to cut down that date tree during Shavuos? Answers the Gemara, Ela Rabbi Elai b'denischani kat. He cut down what Rashi tells us is much further down in Rashi, around 15 lines down. Rashi b'denischi kates timarim shel dekel zachar, a male tree. Now, there's a difference between a male and a female tree. The Gemara discusses in a number of places. So this was a male tree. Ve'einon misbashlim bo olamis, and this never becomes ripe. Because of that reason, one was allowed to cut it down. It wasn't really anything that grows was not really considered edible. It wasn't ripe. And therefore, you could cut down the date tree. That was the type of tree Rabbi Elai cut down during Shavuos. But in Hachanami, any other type of tree, one would not allow to be, would not allow to cut it down. Okay, the Gemara goes on to say now, Tanu Rabbanan, Ochlin Banovim Ad Sheyichlu Deleil Sheolchel. So we spoke about already yesterday that when it comes to Shavuos, when they're no longer that min, that type of fruit no longer exists in the field, you cannot eat it inside your house. So how do you know? So the Gemara says again, Ochlin Banovim, you could eat grapes, Ad Sheyichlu Deleil Sheolchel, until the, what Rashi tells us, he doesn't really tell, I don't know what that really means, but I think it refers to a place I saw somewhere. What do you have in English for Deleos? Anything on that? Trilies?
Is
type of vine, a vineyard, I think.
Until the vine arbors of Ochel.
Place of many vineyards.
Okay, so until this particular place has no longer any grapes, so then you can no longer eat it. That's how you have to check this particular type of place of all these vineyards. Im yesh mucharos mehen, if they have ones that are later still remaining in this place, Ochlin Aleim, you could eat the grapes in your house. Ochlin, so when it comes to now Ochlin Bezesim, eating olives, until the last olives have been removed from this place called Takua. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, until the last great olives eaten in this place, until the point where an ani goes out and you can't find any olives, lo benofo, not in the branches, lo baikaro, not in the roots. Bikaro rovea, I think. Right. So again, it's just telling us different measures how to know where to check in the field when the olives or grapes have finished so that you can no longer eat them in the house anymore. Ochlin migrogros, when it comes to eating dry dates, achi yichlu pagi beishini, until the dried fruits have dates have been finished complete in this place called beishini, pagi beishini. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo huskru pagi beishini, you can't use that as a simon for eating dry dates. El inyan meiser, that place was never mentioned in regards to dry dates for the purpose of eating during Shavuos. That was only mentioned for the purposes of meiser. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, pagi beishini v'ahini, the tovini, these two places, chayavim b'meiser, those two places are obligated in taking meiser. So nothing to do with what we're talking about, something to do with meiser. I'm not sure exactly what the context is there, but only regarding meiser, not regarding Shavuos. So now the Gemara says, "Ochlin b'tmarim ad sheyichlu ha'achon shebetzohar." You could eat dates until the last date had been eaten in a place called tzohar. We already saw this Gemara. Rashbag omer, "Ochlin al shel bein akifin ve'ein ochlin al shel bein ashitin." You can't eat as long as there are dates on the higher parts of the trees where they're accessible, where someone could get them. But if there are dates that are left in the bottom where they're stuck in the thorns and an animal can't get to them, then you can no longer. That machlokas we already saw yesterday. We're mini. The Gemara asks a question. We have another brayse that says, "Ochlin banavim ad ha'pesach." You can eat grapes up until Pesach. Bizesim, you can eat ad hatzeres, until Shavuos. Bigrogros, these dry dates, you can eat up until ad Hanukkah. Bitmarim ad Purim, you can eat dates up until Purim. V'amar Rebbe Bibi, Rebbe Yochanan Tarti, Basraisi Machli. If he would switch the last two around, in fact, it was really grogros until Purim, and tomorrow until Hanukkah. Either way, the machlokas is, one brayse tells us you've based on location. The other brayse tells us based on time. Two very different shirim. Says the Gemara, Idi v'idi chad shiurhi. They're both the very same shiur. Meaning, let's say, for example, when it comes to the dates, so the same time the last date's going to be eaten in Sa'ar, that's going to be around Hanukkah time or Purim time, depending on the girsa. So it really works out the same way. V'bai same. Alternatively, the Gemara answers, Ha'kasani behedya im yesh mucharos behen ochlus alem. These siman, they're not really shirim. They're not definitive shirim. They're, I guess, times that one should be careful. Now it's around Purim time, or now I'm not seeing so many dates in the higher parts of the streets, I should be careful and take a look. But Eina Hanami, it's not a definite time. If you happen to find more dates in the field, more whatever the fruit is in the field, you are allowed to eat. These are just kind of times when a person should start being careful around Purim time. Now you should check in the field whether any of them exist.
It makes sense because if you have a Shana Mubaris, you have 3 weeks between the year, the previous year and the next.
Right.
So it's a big difference.
But I guess at the same time, though, the Shana Mubaris works out with the solar calendar, and the solar calendar really more dictates the seasons.
Right. So, but I'm saying, so that's exactly what I'm saying, that the solar, we keep them shifting 11 days.
You said, they're going to be years where it's going to be off. Either, right.
3 weeks,
right.
I mean, because you know you have it like almost.
Right. So these are just really, again, good simanim to keep in mind. Now start checking out, are there any fruit left in the field or are they not? Tanya says to the Braiser, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Simin Laharim Milim. How do I know if there's a mountain? I remember when we used to go hiking in Israel, you could see from a distance, someone like the tour guide would say, you see that area where all these reeds are? That means there's a river, there's a stream nearby. So the Gemara is about to tell us different simanim. If you look from far away, how do you know if there's a mountain nearby, if there's a nachel? So the simin taharim is milin. In Rashi, it says some type of aftin gliss. I'm not sure what that really means in English.
Walnuts,
you said?
No, gallnuts. Do we have anything to get it?
I don't know what gallnut is. type of...
Fancy nut.
You have fancy nut? You know the foods, right?
Gallnuts, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Gallnut trees.
What is a gallnut? I have to ask Ezra. I guess
I'm kind of a nut.
Okay, fine. So these gallnuts are something that tells us, indicates to us, that they're mountains. Similar mokim to valleys, they call them these date trees. Simin l'nachlim to streams, kanim, you have these reeds. Simin l'shvela, sikma, to a straight, even plain, the sikma, which is a sycamore tree, I think, which doesn't bear any fruit. V'afa pishein ray l'davar, even though there's no proof for the very last one only. Zeich l'davar, there's a hint to this. Shenemar on the pasuk, v'ayitin ha-melech ha-kesef, he gave the money, b'yushalayim ka'vonim, v'esharazim nosim kisikamim asher b'shvela. So we see that these sycamore trees existed in the shvela. Now, Lerov, that's part of the pasuk. Fine. Now, Simin Laharim, Milin, so the gallnuts, now I know what Milin means, which is a Simin for mountains, and Simin Lamakim, and the Simin for valleys, are Dekalim. So, what's the Nafkamina in regards to what? Libikurim. The Nafkamina is, in terms of Bikurim, which are the first fruit of the year of the Shivas HaMinim only, the seven Minim, the first fruit of the season of Bikurim. So, what's the Nafkamina? The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Ein Mevin Bikurin Elam Mishivas HaMinim. But you do not bring from any of these date trees that may exist on the mountains, but not, and nor from the fruits of the valleys. Because if the dekalim were to grow in the mountains, they would not be good fruit. You're only supposed to bring from the best fruit. I think Rashi explains here. Rashi, three Y lines down in Rashi. Any date trees that were to grow on the mountains would not be good. They would not be very good fruit. Therefore, don't take them from the mountains, rather take them from the valleys. V'lomi peris tzvuos dogon shebamakim, and don't take any grains that grow in the valleys, shemayim lanim shamu tzvuos and kamusha merakeves, and the water sits and settles there, too much of that water won't be good for the grains, so that's the nafkamina for these particular things where they're commonly found, the dekalim and the milim. And now in regards to simin l'nachlim kanim, what's the nafkamina, the fact that these reeds grow in streams, yeah?
What is nafkamina?
Well, nafkamina, what is the difference? Like, who really cares that the kalim is a symbol for us that indicates that there are mountains? What halacha ramification does it have? What halacha significance does it have to us? So then, what's the nafkamina, simin l'nachlim kanim, the fact that reeds are commonly found by streams, what's the nafkamina for us? L'nachl esan. So this one I didn't quite get. I didn't see from Rashi, but for some reason Nachal Esa needed this. Rashi says, I guess the point you need
it.
For the Egla Rufa, I guess the point it has to dafka, as the pasuk says, dafka being a nachla. So only if a nachla has these reeds, or only if you're looking for a nachla, I guess, you could use the reeds as a simon that this must be a nachla, and then you're allowed to do the Egla Rufa there. I guess that's the point. I don't think that you need the reeds to be there, but if you're looking for a nachla, the reeds probably help you find a nachla.
With this hallmark identification, Rav Shimon teaches that unless reeds grow in its shallow, the stream is not considered a nachal for purposes of the mitzvah.
Yeah, that's what Rashi says, yeah. So it's interesting. Without that, I mean, no one said before that without the date trees, it's not going to be considered, or without the milin, it's not going to be considered a mountain. I'm sure many mountains don't have these gallnuts. It's still a mountain without gallnuts. But the chiddushir, I don't know why, but Rashi, the way he reads the Gemara is, to be considered a nachal, it must have these reeds.
Right.
So that is a requirement to be a nacha. And then the Gemara says, Simin l'shvela shikma, nafkamina l'mekal chamemkar, the halacha, the ramification is regarding to selling, buying and selling. So Rashi says, l'mekal chamemkar shvela ani mochal chach, I'm selling you a nice even plane. Tzarech sheyeh b'shikam. You have to have these sycamore trees to be considered this plain, this flat field. And if it doesn't have those, it doesn't qualify into mekach tos. Says the Gemara, concludes right here, hashed da'asas lahachi kula nami l'mekach memkar. Once you've established this afkamina in regards to buying and selling, so all the same ones in before also. If I'm selling the mountains must have a meal on them. If I'm selling a valley, has to have the column. If it's missing those things that the Gemara tells us is a simon for each of those, it's not going to be a good Mecca Chumemka. Okay. That really concludes all our Shvius discussions. Now move on to things a little bit more relevant to us. Says the Mishnah, Mokum Shinagu Limchor Behemadaka, the Nachim Mokum. The places where they were Noheg to sell one of these smaller animals to non-Jews, it would be permitted. Malkum Shalonagu Limkor Ain Mokum. But there were certain places where the minhag was not to sell to them, and these places you were not allowed to sell. Says Rashi, what's the reason why? Says Rashi, Malkum Shalonagu Shlo Limkor Dehachmirat Atzmam Dilma Us Limkor Gasa. It might lead to selling the large animals, which we'll see in a moment. You cannot sell large animals.
You see in Avodah Zarah also, right?
Exactly. It comes in Avodah Zarah as well, right? So says the Gemara, Mishnah further. Now, Bechol Malkum, every single place. Ain mochin lahem behemagasa. You are not allowed to sell larger animals, and that says Rashi, quoting from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I believe. Yeah, he says bechol makom ain mochin lahem behemagasa. The gazer be'rabban, the made gzeira mishum sheila. You might borrow umishum schiris, and you might rent it. The non Jew might borrow, might rent it from you. Umishum nisyona, they might test it out. What's going to happen is they're going to want to borrow the animal from you, but before they borrow the animal, they want to test it to see how it responds. So you're going to show how it responds. It's going to be Erev Shabbos. It's going to go into Shkia. You're going to tell the donkey to come here. The donkey's going to come here. It's going to be moving on Shabbos based on your voice. And it's going to be a problem of violating Yisra Shabbos of Shvisos Behemta. You have to have your animals need to rest on Shabbos. Because of all these gzeiros, Chum says you can't sell Behema Gasa. Once they said you can't sell Behema Gasa, they also extended that, according to some, not to the Hadaminug, not to sell Behema Dakas either. Says the Gemara now, Agalim, Visayachim, Shlemim, Vishurim. So these are the smaller calves. I'm not sure exactly what Sayachim are. Agal is a calf. Anything on Sayachim?
Foal.
What animal is that? A young?
Again,
newborn or something. Ah, newborn something, right? Okay. So.
These are young animals that are unfit for labor.
Right, we don't know what that about. An eagle, I know, is a young cow. I don't know what a sayach is, but okay.
Sayachim, it's a small horse.
A small, yes, oh yeah, okay, yeah, a pony. I know, yeah, a pony, okay.
I know it's definitely from a horse, but you would think maybe from some other animals are also called a foal.
Uh-huh. Okay. So even the small animals, even though the small animals are not roy for work, and you would never leave, you never come to test it out on Shabbos to see how the pony or the calf is going to carry something and walk, but still the chamin would go there not to sell even the small of the calves and the small ponies, because you might lead to selling the larger horse and the larger cow. And also shleim and vishvurim, also a healthy animal you couldn't sell, also a broken-legged animal you couldn't sell either. Even though a broken-legged animal cannot do any melacha, it's a gzera, you might sell even the healthy animal. All those different types of animals were bechlal this gzera. If it was a broken-legged animal, it couldn't do work, Rehuda permitted you to sell this, because you wouldn't come to confuse, oh, if I sold a broken horse, I could also sell a healthy horse. Ben Beseir Matir Besus, he permitted selling a horse in general, because the type of melacha they did was simply riding on the horse. It wasn't pulling any plows, it was just riding on the horse. And riding on the horse itself was only a gzera, it was only a shvus, so there's not a problem selling the horse. As opposed to a cow or something which pull a plow, that would be more problematic. That would be melacha deraisa on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, last line, Malkum Shinagu Lechel Tzli B'Leil Pesachim Ochlin. The place that they had the minhag to eat roasted meat on Pesach night, they were permitted to eat it. Malkum Shinagu Shlola Ochel Es Einochlin. Certain places had a minhag not to eat roasted meat on Leil Pesach. Those places you could not eat. And that's based on, of course, that the tzli was reserved for the Karban Pesach, so you shouldn't have any roasted. The minhag was not to have any tzli outside of the Karban Pesach. So a number of issues come up here regarding Bizman Hazeh, and what type of animals, what type of meat, what type of foods. So the Mishnah Berurah writes already that this only applies, the Isser Tzli only applies, it's Halach L'maaseh, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Tzli only exists on Basar Shchuta, on any animal, any meat that would be Shechted. But it comes to eggs, that for example, Tzli Beitza, Mishnah Berurah says one is allowed to have Tzli Beitza. It only applies to Tzli Basar, not to Tzli Beitza or any other type of Tzli. Only meat is subject to this. The Ma'aril, however, was said that he thinks Tzli, the Isser Tzli applies even to a Beitza. And the Taz quotes from Yishalmi, which seems to say otherwise. The Yishalmi has a havamina to include even a beitza in terms of the Isser Tzli. The Yishalmi concludes one's allowed to do Tzli in a beitza, but for some reason the Ma'aril concluded that one cannot have a beitza that's roasted. The minhag seems to be that one can have a beitza that's roasted. Rashash wants to make a dik, and the fact that the word in the Mishnah says, Lele Psachim, why Lele Psachim? I would have thought Lele Psachim mean in general. Pesach nights, throughout the years, throughout everyone's home, one cannot have any roasted meat. The Rosh Hashanah says, no, Leilei Pesachim comes to include even Pesach Sheni. There's an Isser Pesach Sheni not to have any roasted roasted meat. Now, he says, the Rosh Hashanah concludes, however,
what is roasted?
Tzli. Without water, on the fire, shawarma, let's say.
Uh-huh.
That's roasted, just fire.
You do eggs like this, too? Eggs, roasted eggs.
I don't know. You can, in theory. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Not boiled.
So the Rosh Hashanah says, even though he was medayik from the mission of Leili Pesachim includes Pesach Sheni, this is all, the mission is talking about a makum of a minhag. Nothing to do with a real iser. It's all a makum shenagu. So clearly the minhag is not, there's no minhag at all to not have roasted anything on Pesach Sheni. We all have anything we want, Pesach Sheni. So since that's the minhag, one is allowed to have a roasted anything, roasted meat, even on Pesach Sheni. There's a discussion about Machlokas Achronim about Zman Habayis. Zman Habayis, the whole issue was they're concerned if you saw someone eating a roasted piece of meat outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside, sorry, in your own home, they're like, oh, you're eating a Pesach Sheni, but there's no Beis HaMikdash. Why are you eating a Pesach Sheni? Why are you eating a Karban Pesach in your house? There's no Beis HaMikdash. So the Achronim point out, Bizman HaMikdash, no one would ever think that person would be eating a Karban Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash when they could have just went to the Beis HaMikdash itself. There was never an issue at all. Only Bizman Hazeh, where there's no Beis HaMikdash to bring Karban Pesach, is there a concern a person made his own backyard in his Be'ach and made his own Karban Pesach? That would be only a problem, Bizman Hazeh. And then there's another Machlokas Achronim, whether or not this Isser applies even during the daytime or only during the nighttime. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Oser lo le'odam sheyomer baser zeh le'pesach. A person cannot say, this meat is reserved. He's not saying any type of hekdesh, but he says, this meat is reserved for my Pesach Seder. Mipnei shehu kimakdish behemto v'ocho kochim b'chutz. It's as if a person, it appears as if a person is being makdish his animal. This man has that we're talking about. I'm being makdish my animal, and I'm eating kochim now outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside being shechted from the Beis HaMikdash. And Amar Papa Dafka Basar Vachiti Lo Dimintra Lepischa Kamar. So Papa says the Isser only applies, saying this is reserved for Pesach, only applies to Basar. That could get confused with real Kachim. When it comes to saying my wheat, my flour is reserved for Pesach, all he means is he's protecting it. He's going to do a shmir to make sure it doesn't turn into any chametz. He's reserving it for Pesach, but not to say this is a hektish to the Beis HaMikdash. The Isser only applies again to Basa. And this also is brought down in the Halacha Maisa. You should never say that this meat is reserved for Leil Seder. Even though your intentions are clearly not for Kachim, the appearance gives off that it might be. The Gemara says, Basa lo. When it comes to meat, a person cannot designate it for the Karban Pesach, for Pesach night rather. Meisive, the following question, Amar Biyosi, to this Ish Romi, Hinnig es b'nei Romi, Leachal Gidim Mikulasim b'Leil Pesachim. So, to this Ish Romi, this is a Roman, he was a Jew, and he was a powerful one, he lived in Rome, he created this custom that everyone should have these gedim, which was the animals used for the goats, the young goats used for the Karban Pesach, to have them mekulasim, you should eat it in a mekulas way, Leil Seder. What does mekulasim mean? So does Rashi tell us here? Rashi says, three lines from the bottom, mekulasim tsluyim rosho al kirav al kirvo ktias haPesach. You roast it all together as one piece of meat, all together, not cut up at all, as one unit. That's the way, the Gemara will see much later on, that's the way the Karban Pesach was roasted as well. So to remember the way the Karban Pesach was roasted, that's how Todis wanted all the Bnei Rome to have their Pesach their basar Pesach night. Again, they weren't eating the Karban Pesach. They were in Rome. There was no Pesach there, but he wanted them to eat a meat to remember how the Karban Pesach was eaten. So the Gemara says, Shalchu lo, the Chum sent to him, Il mole todas ata, had you not been such a powerful individual, Gazarnu alecha nida, we'd have sent you to excommunication. Shatam maichles, he saw kodshim b'chutz. You're giving Klaisel, eating kodshim, they're eating Karban Pesach at chutz. Kodshim sagadatach, is this really kodshim? They're not really eating kodshim. Ella ema karov the kachim the hachias you saw kachim b'chutz. It's similar. It appears like you're eating. You're giving them to eat kachim b'chutz. So Gemara says, now mekulas in shei mekulas lo. The only problem that he was doing is that he made them eat in mekulas. See, eat the meat in this as one unit, not cutting it up, just like the Karban Pesach was eaten. That was the only problem. Shein mekulas lo. But if it wasn't left whole, if it was chopped up in pieces of meat, it was like a shawarma, you took a lamb, you sliced it into different types of meat, and then he roasted it, that would not be problematic. So Amri, so what's the question here? So Rashi says, She'enu makulas lo, top line, V'kashi l'rav, Amar basar greda milchaf v'pesach. He says you can't have any roasted meat on Pesach. Here we're saying the only problem is having a whole piece of meat roasted together. But chopped, sliced piece of meat is allowed. Before we said any type of meat cannot be used for Pesach. Says the Gemara, Amre, Mekulas, if it's whole, a whole piece of meat, the whole animal together, Lo Shna Amar, Lo Shna Lo Amar. You cannot have it, whether or not you designated it, whether or not you did not designate it, you cannot have a whole animal, a whole lamb, as one unit roasted together. However, She'enu Mekulas, if it was not whole, it was sliced, you have shawarma, Pirish in low pirish low. If you said this is specifically for my Leil Seder, that's going to be problematic. If you never designated it, just stam had lamb sliced up, that would be allowed according to Rav. So now the Gemara says, Rav Acha Masni lo laha Ma'is Nisan ki Rabbi Shimon. They taught the whole sugi above according to Rabbi Shimon. So this gets a little bit confusing now. So Maskil Rav Sheshes. So we'll have to see who Rabbi Shimon is in a moment. Just bear with me. So, Maskiv Lav Rav Sheshes, Bishmal Leman Detani Lek Rabbi Yosi Nicha, the one who taught this whole sugi above, like Rabbi Yosi, makes a lot of sense. Ela Leman De Masni Ki Rabbi Shimon Mi Nicha, the one who holds like Rabbi Shimon, does it really make sense? So again, we're not really sure what we're talking about just yet. But Hatnan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us as follows? Rabbi Shimon Poter Shlo Hisnadev Kider Chamisnadvim. Rabbi Shimon exempts someone, any time a person makes a Nadava, that is not the normal way a nedava is made. A dedication is not normally made. It's not considered a good nedava. It's not considered a good hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon requires you to do the exact way it was done. So if we're saying whoever makes the sugya above that the isser that Rav says, you can never say that mak baser zez pesach. You can't say that because it appears as if you're being makdish the animal. Rabbi Shimon says that's not the normal way a person makes something hekdesh. You would have to say that this is hekdesh. Just say this baser is reserved for pesach. That's not classical way of making hekdesh. So Rabbi Shimon would not think this would be any concern. How could anybody say that this sugya goes aliba the Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina Lervashi Uman de Masala Kabiyosi, the one who holds like Rabbi Yosi, Minicha, does it really make sense even with Rabbi Yosi? Vahama Rava, Rabbi Shimon Beshitas Rabbi Yosi Amra, Rabbi Shimon himself holds like Rabbi Yosi. Damar af the Gemara Dvarv Adam Nitvas, a person holds like Rabbi Yossi, that even the end of the words a person is going to hold on to. So what does it mean? It's very confusing right now. So let's look at some Rashi to get some clarification. Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon Poter. You see that Rashi around the 8 lines from the top? Yeah. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Be'omer hare alai mincha minasarim. A person says, I have an obligation to bring a mincha as a carbon of flour, of se'orim, of barley. The detnan b'minachos mevi minachitin. The chaven de'omer hare alai mincha. Once a person says, I have a mincha, even though afterwards he says, I'm going to bring from the Seorin, Tafas Los Rishon. We follow the first words, which is Mina Mincha. U'mincha eino ba mina Seorim nedava. A person cannot bring Mincha from barley, it can only be brought from Chitin. So even though after he said, I'm bringing a Mincha, he qualified it by saying Mina Seorim, we ignore the second half. We're Tofes, we grab onto his first words, Mina Mincha, and we define it on our own, he must mean a Chita type of Mincha. Hilkach Yavi Mina Chitin. Rabbi Shimon Poter, he says, no. The Damar af b'gmar dvarav adam nitbas v'nidbak V'daitel chamash motzi b'fiv. Whatever person says, I don't care if what he says doesn't make any sense, it contradicts each other, we hold on to everything. And since minchas se'orin niskaven, he had intentions of bringing a mincha from barley, the savor, and he thought, she'adam yachol isnadev l'avikein, if we thought a person may bring a barley-based mincha, v'fikach ein b'dvar v'klum, therefore what he said is meaningless, and nothing happens. V'hai meichel g'div mikulas nami, also giving the food of this, the lamb, a whole lamb, to be eaten, my karav l'kotchim b'chotika, what comparison is there to real kotchim? Halo mechaim lo kara alav shem pesach, you have to call an animal, the lamb, you have to call kutchim when it's alive. This person called it when it was very shechted. He had a shechted lamb, he brought it to his house, and said, oh, this is going to be my carbon for Pesach. That's not the way a normal hektish is done. So Rabbi Shimon is going to say, it's going to be pater. V'afilu hi kore lo shem b'shas tzli, and he calls it the shem Pesach during the roasting, shelo k'derech ha-mekadshin hu, v'ein Hashem chal alav. The chalo shem, the carbon Pesach, is never going to be chal on this animal because he did not do it the right way. Now, Rabbi Shimon, right in Rashi, Rabbi Shimon, the pater be'omer mincha minasarim, v'lo chai vehi mishum tafas lashin rishon, b'shitas Rabbi Yossi Amri, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, the Amri, the Amri, b'sachas tumur af gmar devar v'adam nidbak minitfas. So Rabbi Shimon actually goes along with Rabbi Yossi. So again, we said originally the Gemara is going according to Rabbi Yossi in regards to our sugya of Pesach. Now Rabbi Yossi also says regarding the halachas of holding on to a person's af b'lashin rishon tafas, say after the Gemara Dvar of Tafas, a person, the person holds on to his whole entire statement, Rabbi Yossi actually agrees to Rabbi Shimon. So how could, if Rabbi Shimon cannot be the author of this Brisa above, how could Rabbi Yossi be the author? They seem to be saying the same halacha. So now back to the Gemara, my love, I know again, very confusing, I'm trying to get through it as best as possible, my love, be the Rabbi Shimon Savrala Rabbi Yossi, since Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yossi, does not mean to say Rabbi Yossi Nami Savrala Rabbi Shimon, does he not also agree to Rabbi Shimon? Lo, Rabbi Shimon, Savra la Rabbi Yossi, Lo, Rabbi Yossi, Savra la Rabbi Shimon. No, they don't hold like each other. So Rashi explains, my love, mid Rabbi Shimon, Savra la Rabbi Yossi, betfisas gemar dvarim. Just like Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, that you hold on to any word that a person says, we hold on to the entire statement. So also too, the Gemara suggests, Rashi explains, Rabbi Yossi, Savra la Rabbi Shimon, bimisnadev shalo keder chamisnadevim delo amarklum. When a person makes a nadava the improper way, it's not going to be good nadava. So to v'hahi the tudus lo mitok mikrabiosi. So just like Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, we should say the opposite. True, the reverse is also true that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, and it won't be a good nadava. So Gemara says no, not true. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, and after Gemara dava of nitvas, but Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Shimon that keder chamis nadvim, and that's how the Gemara concludes.
But how do we explain that it was already tzli?
That it wasn't, sorry?
That it was already, it was shecht already.
How does the kutchin work?
Yeah.
So he thinks that, Rabbi Yossi thinks when a person can make something hektish, even though it's not the right way or the proper way to do it, a hektish will still be chal on something.
But he's more medakdik on the way, what he says, not so much on the actual situation, like the actual state.
I guess they're right. Rabbi Yossi says, afigmar dvarov. All
right,
the words.
I'm trying to say that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, if the meat was already, if the cow was already shecht, and you just having the meat, but it doesn't make a difference how you hold it, shouldn't be able to be hektish.
Well, it wouldn't work for your car in Pesach Chiyav, let's say, but it would still be chal, hektish would still
some
work.
Some kind of hektish.
Some type of hektish that maybe you have to sell the animal
to Pesach.
Exactly. It would some type of hektish, and people would think, oh, people who don't know better would think, oh, well, this is really hektish now, he's probably using it for his car in Pesach, and he's eating kutsh b'chutz. It wouldn't be a real car in Pesach, but it would have some
kind of
tefisa of kedusha to it, right? You probably would have to, kedusha's dumim would be my guess.
What was his lashon? His lashon was basar ze
Pesach, I think. Basar ze le Pesach.
Le Pesach.
Okay, that was a very confusing piece. Now the Gemara wants to know: Ibayilhu todos ish romi gaver rabba hava o bal agrofin hava. Was he a choshev individual, gaver rabba, a big choshev person, or was he just a bully?
Right.
Was he a wealthy individual who did what he wanted? So Toshma. He brought the following raya. Odzu Darish told this Ishram. He made the following drasha. Ma ro Hananiah Mishal Vezarya Shemasu Asmana Kudush Hashem, the Kivshan Haish. What do they see, these three Nevi'im? What do they realize that they should jump into the fire at Al Kudush Hashem? Nasu Kalvachomer Be'atzman. He made the following Kalvachomer Be'at Mitzvah Daim, just from the frogs. The frogs from the times of Mitzrayim, Makos Tardeya. Matzra Dayim Shein Mitzuv Mal Kedushas Hashem. They themselves are not chayav to do Kedushas Hashem, yet still Ksib, who it's written in Mitzrayim, Ba'u V'alu B'Veisecho V'Tonarecho B'Shemarasecho. So they went, they jumped into the houses, they jumped into the ovens. Umasai Misharos Mitzuyos Eitzel Tanur. Havi. Omer Mishasha Tanur Cham Anu. So they said, when are we going to jump into the fires? When the fire's omen, it's very hot. They jumped into the ovens for Kedushas Hashem. So Anu said them, the three say to themselves, Anu Shemitzuvna Kedushas Hashem Alachas Kama V'Kama. We Yidden who are Chayev Kedushas Hashem, how much more should we jump into the fire Al Kedushas Hashem? So we see from here that the fact that he made the following drasha, a very good drasha, a good kal v'chomer, he was a gavra rabbi. He was a chashev individual, and wasn't simply he was a bully and he was a wealthy individual and just doing what he wanted. He really had a good reason to what he had done in regards to the gedim mukulas.
I think it's great to more clarify about Chanan Yisrael Mizari, but I don't see how that helps tell this.
Well, the fact that he made this drasha. He was a Tamil Chacham.
Oh, he made this
drasha. He made this drasha. That proved that he was a Tamil Chacham, and therefore we conclude he must be a Gavra, Rabba, Chashev individual, not simply... Exactly. So, this sugya creates a number of discussions in the Achronim, the Kal V'Chomer from the Tzfardeya. So among them, let's first look at Rashi, I guess. Rashi says, two lines down, Ma Ra'u Shalo Darshu V'Chai Behem V'Lo Shiyumus Behem. What do they see? What are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? What do they see that they didn't say v'chaibem? You're supposed to live. You're not supposed to kill yourself from mitzvahs. You're supposed to live. What do they see here? What was the kal v'chomer they learned to jump into the fire? So Rashi said, Tosus on this says, Ma ro Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, perish a kuntris. Ma ro shelo darshu v'chaibem v'lo shimus behem v'kosha. Dava for hes yahava. This event was in public. Everyone knew about what was going on. Umaskinu besanhedrin, we conclude, d'lechuli alma b'farhesya chayiv l'mitzvah atma afilu amitzvah kala. The halacha is, with Kedushas Hashem, you have to give up your life, even for the smallest mitzvah, if it's b'farhesya. The yag v'yavor only applies to the big three. That's when b'tzina. But when it comes to b'farhesya, even a mitzvah kala, even this type of mitzvah kala, was going to be giving up their life. When we far shabbeinu tam, d'tzelem zeh she'asu nifchanetzer lav avodah zara hava. It wasn't a real avodah zarah. It was something small. It was done for his own personal kavod, and that's why they thought maybe they should live. They should not have to give up their life until they learn this kal v'chomer to do a positive, a proactive type of kedushas Hashem.
Didn't we learn? I think it was in Zvachim that they figured that who went before them and was saved. Somebody went before to the kitchen, right? And I was saved. Or Daniel with the Raya.
Is Daniel the Raya? Is Avram Avinu?
I think that we learned in Zvachim that they figured that he was saved, but they weren't really in the Madrega. And I wasn't listening to the Gemara, such a thing.
And then now you're saying something's
kind of
bad.
Something like that, I think we did.
I don't remember. Right. Vaguely familiar. Now, the Achron Shagas Ari asks the following question. How do you bring a Kal V'Chomer from the Tzardaya? They were never commanded to go into the tanur at all. They were never commanded to go into the tanur. They were commanded to go into the tanur. The pasuk says the frogs had to go into the ovens. So it wasn't like they were. In general, of course, animals are not required to keep Kiddush Hashem. But this particular example, in the case of Makas Tzardaya,
they had to go into Egypt. They didn't have to go into the ovens. It talks about that in Mefarshim, right?
So is that some of the answers say. Say
the ones who went there had even bigger stuff, those frogs.
Right, so that's what some say. The Shakas Arya himself answers that only some of the frogs were required to go into the ovens.
They had to go. They just had to,
some actually were required to go into the ovens even. Not all of them, but some were miksas were chayv to go into the ovens. So then I think it's Ma'aril says, well, if only some of them were, so each frog is going to say to himself, well, I'm not going in, my friend's going to go in. So let him go in. And everyone says that about each other, no one's going to have to go into the ovens. So the Ma'aril rejects the Shagas Arya's answer, that's not going to work. It can't be miktas. A simple answer could be, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told particular frogs which ones to go in, they didn't have that option. That Ma'aril says, no, there was never a tzivoy. The pasuk that tells us that they went into the ovens, maybe what you were saying, they were never obligated to go into the ovens, they chose to go into the ovens on their own. And the Sukkot are just telling us what happened. the story. The mice, they went into the ovens, but there was never a tzivoy in the first place, and that's why they can draw a kal v'chomer. Again, the frogs that were never commanded to go into the ovens, yet they created a Kiddush Hashem, we who are commanded to do Kiddush Hashem, should we, even not more so, we should not create a Kiddush Hashem? Okay, now Gemara goes on to say a few lines before the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Omar Matil Milei L'Kish Yitamit Hechamim. Person who gives money to a Talmid Chacham, Haya. This is talking about Ish Todus. So, the Amar B'Yochanan called Matil Milei L'Kis Talmid Chachamim Zolcha V'Yoshu B'Shiva Shel Malah Shenemar Ki B'Tzeil Chachachma B'Tzeil Kesef. It brings a pasuk to prove that anybody who gives money, supports a Talmid Chacham, is going to be sit in the shade of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Yeshiva Shel Malah. Oh, yeah? You know where?
I believe I saw Shulchan Aruch somewhere. I forgot where.
Shulchan Aruch, yeah.
To,
oh, yeah? To be give money to Tamim Chachamim?
What?
Stucco or money?
Tamim Chachamim.
Interesting.
Because they quote the source.
Interesting.
He spoke about email, daily emails.
So when Max Listia spoke about this with the frogs, he said, why? He asked the question, why the frogs that went into the ovens, what was their schar, their reward? They didn't get killed, they lived. So he said, what kind of reward is that? You know, you let a frog be a frog even longer, let it become a human, you know? So he answered, that was the whole Dvar Torah, that's the difference between us and a frog. You know, we have the ability to do a mitzvah and get schar, a frog,
that's a frog.
Yeah.
Interesting. The Acharon point out the difference here. The Gemara says, it's a nice mila to be in Yeshiva Shemala, fine. But the Gemara in Ksubas talks about giving money to Talmid Chacham. It says that giving money to Talmid Chacham makes you me debook to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's your way of coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is a much higher level than simply sitting Yeshiva Shemala. Being debook by Hashem is a greater mila. So what's the difference of this Gemara, which says only Yeshiva Shemala, and the Gemara in Ksubas says, no, you're actually being debook by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So two answers are given that I saw. One is the Ayin Eliyahu. I'm not sure who wrote that. It might be the Gra. Usually with Eliyahu in it, you can assume it's the Gra, but I'm not sure. So that this sefer answers as follows. One thing is to give money for the Talmid Chacham to do business on his own. One is to do business for the Talmid Chacham. The Gemara here is when you give him money and he can take the money to do business, that's a good mila, that's Yeshiva Shel Malah. But giving money and doing business for the Talmid Chacham, that's a much higher level. That's the Gemara in Ketubis where you're Dovik Bahashem. Igus Moshe, yeah.
The latter, I'm sorry.
The latter one was you're actually doing business for him. You're taking his money, investing the money for him, and he just gets the proceeds. As opposed to just here's money, do it with what you want with it.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
There's a few people that learn with some beer that I know, and they come like real hospital. And the agreement that they have is that money instead of paying him gets invested to some little real estate deal that they're doing.
Interesting. Good deal.
So in the area, yeah. Uh-huh.
The Rav Moshe didn't like this. Rav Moshe says no. The difference is that Gemara and Ksubas is talking about the partnership of Yisachar Zvulun. That's the real partnership where you get half and half. As, you know, Zvulun works, Yisachar learns, and that half and half. That's a partnership, the ideal partnership. That's the Gemara and Ksubas where you're Davik Bashem. Here's where you're helping out. You give him money or you invest his money for him, but not quite the real partnership. So that's, again, a very good level, not the level of Ksubas. It's only the level of Yeshiva Shemal. It says the Mishnah, Makom shenagu lahalik esaner bilel yom kippurim malikin. The certain places had the custom to light candles the night of Yom Kippur, and they had a good reason to do that. Makom shenagu shelo lahalik. Other places had the minhag not to light ein malikin. You do not light in those places. So malikin bebate knesses bebate midrashos bevuos laifalim al gavei acholim. So they would light in the shul, so you could see, you could read from the sitter, from the machzer, in the dark alleyways, and wherever the sick person was. The Gemara says, Tana Bein Sh'amud Lahalik, Bein Sh'amud Shelo Lahalik, whether you had the custom to light Yom Kippur or not to light Yom Kippur, Shnei L'dvar Echad Niskadma. They both had the same intentions. Same intentions, what are the same intentions? Says Rashi, so like 10 lines from the bottom, Bein Sh'amud Lahalik, Osen Shenagu Lahalik, Vanogin Shelo Lahalik, Lo Niskadma Elo Dvar Echad. Lahafrish Atmo Mimishkva Isha. Not to have any relations. One of the Isurim on the Yom Kippurim, Ha'omrim lahalik mishum de'ein adam mishamish mitasa lo arner. Because if there's light, so person, you don't have tashmish when there's not light. Va'omrim shalol lahalik, person says not to light, sovrim kishaner dolik roes isho misavela. When the light is there, then you'll see your wife and you'll be in this misave. So therefore have the lights off. So both opinions have the same reasoning. The question is, what's the better approach? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yeshua, Darish Rava made the following drasha. V'imcha kulam tzadikim liyolam yushu eretz v'gomer. Bein shamru lahalik, bein shamru shalol lahalik, shneim lo niskabnu, Elo ledavar echad. So he quotes from this pasuk. They both had the right intentions. They both were doing the right thing. Lemaisa, what do? We pask in two light. This machlokas mishum whether one says a bracha on the candle of Yom Kippurim. We pask in one should, but interesting discussion as to why not. So there's this larger discussion about saying a bracha on haminag. It came up in the Gemara in Brachos already. Whether or not you say bracha on haminag, a big machlokas in the Tosos there. We generally pask in you do say bracha on haminag. The Gra says, though, even if you were to say a bracha on a minag, like we paskim, this minag is different, because normally we say, when it comes to minag, it's a minag that's accepted upon by everybody. And this is a minag that really depends on different places, so this is not really a global minag, so this minag, one may say not to say bracha, even in this case, but again, the general practice is to say bracha on the lighting Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara now, Amar Yehuda Mashmuel, Ein Mavarchin Al Hanor El B'motzai Shabbos Hol V'tchilas B'riyasohu. Seems to be somewhat irrelevant, but it's connected in terms of lighting candles, of course. So the person only says a bracha on lighting a candle for the purpose of fire and purpose of light on Motzei Shabbos, because that was the time, that was when the fire was created by Adam Rishon. So says Tosfos, a very interesting Tosfos, Ein Mevarchen al Ha'or Ela B'Motzei Shabbos Hiksha HaRav Yosef Lama Ein Mevarchen B'Chol Shah Shenena Mimenu De'Aser Lanos Min Ha'olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha. Why don't you say bracha every single time you turn the fire on, every time you turn a candle, turn a light on in the room? You should say a bracha because you're getting hana from the light. Just like before you eat, you can't eat until you say a bracha because you can't get a hana without saying a bracha. So to the hana from light, you should say a bracha birchas hanen. Answers tell us v'tirits the honey mili kishagufo nene. That's only when the guf physically gets hana from it. Aval shar hana lo. But when it's not physical, it's not mushes to the fire. You can't touch the light, there's nothing to touch, it's not real physical. So that type of hana was never created a birchas hanenin. V'afa gav de mevarchen al or hashemesh b'chol yom hainu mishum mishum ischadish b'chol yom. Ah, we do say bracha every single morning, or chadosh al tzion ta'ir. Still, that's because the sun, the day, renews itself each and every day, but that's not really a birchas hanenin. What comes out from the Tosfos is a very lumdish point. One is, his havamin is that the bracha on fire is a birchas hanenin. He concludes, the pashas, the way to read it, this machokas had a read Tosfos, but the pashas, the way to read it, is it's not a birchas hanenin, it's birchas hashevach. The bracha, you say, I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that we have light, the fact that we have fire, the fact that we have sun. However, there's a Sefer HaMechtam, one of the Rishonim, who writes later on in the Masechta, in Daf Kuvav or so, he says, no, it is a birchas hanenin, in fact. He has to explain, so if it's a birchas hanenin, why don't you say it every single time you turn the fire on? It's a larger discussion. There are a number of nafkaminas that relate to this. One discussion is the Gemara in Brachos talks about the halachas of Havdalah candles, so whether or not you actually have to get hana from the fire, or you have to have the ability to get hana. The Gemara uses Lashon Sheyuso. Sheyuso mamish or just lav dafka, that you have to actually get hana from your candle, from your nails, or that has to have the ability to get hana. Seems to be the nafkamina between whether it's a birchas hanenin, the actually getting hana, or something a birchas hashevach, whether you have to have the potential. It has to have the potential, therefore you could praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the fire. Very important to us in that sugya of birchas ha'esh. Now continues the Gemara as follows. Amr le hahu saba, certain elder said, V'isema rabba bar barchana, yosher. This is a very true statement. They agreed upon this, that's true. You only say it Motzei Shabbos. V'chein amr Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Ula hava rochiv chamra. Ula was traveling on a donkey. V'ozil v'hava shakil. V'ozil was going along his way. And Rabbi Abba b'minai v'rabba bar barchana mismolet. He had on the right Rabbi Abba. He had on the left Rabbi Bar Barchana, and Ula was in the front, in the middle. Amar Lei Rabbi Abba, Ula, and the one on his right turned to Ula in the center. Vadai dar misa mishmei de b'yochanan. It was certainly said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein mevarchan al hanor or el b'motzei Shabbos hol v'tchilas b'riyaso hu. So this was clearly said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hadar Ula chazebei b'Rabbi Bar Barchana. He turns to the left to Rabbi Barchana bishus. He sees that he's somewhat embarrassed now. So Rashi explained, what was the embarrassment for? Hadar Ula Chazabe Braba Bar Barchana Bishus Nistakel Bo Befarim's office. He looked at him very upset. Kolmar Ata Amris B'Shem Rabbi Yochan. You said in the name of Yochan, Vulo Amar Kain. Ela Af Masai Yom Kippur Mivarchan Alav. Hova Davar Chadashu Shinesel B'chol Yom V'achshav Nana Mimenu. So I'm not sure what Rashi means here. I was a little confused by reading this Rashi. But I think initially when he said the statement, he did not quote Rabbi Yochanan. And now it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan really was the author of the statement. Let me look at this again.
Rashi's just jumping the gun. He's explaining what's good.
Sorry?
He's just jumping the gun. He's saying he only said it by Yom Kippur, not by every Motzei Shabbos.
He says, I think af, even by other Motzei Yom Kippurim, no? Right. So he says that Rabbi Yochanan said every, not only Motzei Shabbos, but every Motzei, even Motzei Yom Kippurim, you're supposed to say it.
I hear. Yeah.
So that's why he looked at him. He's upset that he was inaccurate in quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Lei Ana Lav Aha Amar, didn't we not say the following? Yeah, I see, by jumping the gun, that's what he meant. Do we not hear the following? Ela Aha Amri the Tana Kamri Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer Yom Kippurim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Didn't we say that Rabbi Yochanan said as follows? Even though in general, perhaps one has a machlokas, whether you light the candles on Yom Kippur in general, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, certainly you're going to light the candles. Even the place that has a makkah, a minag shelo lahalik, in this situation when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, even they would agree to light. V'ani Rabbi Yochanan responds, Basrei. The Chacham Osim, Rabbi Yochanan responded, no, the Chacham said, no, even in this case, they said still not to light the candles. So Amalei, he responds back, Ada Te Kariyale. So they're going to, Zos Tierra, she says, this is what it means to say, Bezu Ani Mo Desham Rabbi Yochanan. This, I agree, Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan did say the following, that he, quoting the Chacham, that Asered lighting the candles, even when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, again, for the reason we mentioned earlier in the Gemara, because of the Isser Tashmish on Yom Kippur. So Kari Aleh Rabbi Yosef, referred to him as follows, Mai Mamukum Eta Belevish. The deep waters are in the advice of the heart, Belevish, in the man's heart, Vish Tivuna Yilamai Mamukum, and a person of understanding will be able to delve deeply to the Yidlena, to draw the water. Meaning, Mai Mamukum Eta Belev, the deep waters in the lave, Ishze Ula, that's referring to Ula. Vish Tvuna Yidlenu, and another person, understanding person, we have to delve deeply and pull out the waters, Zeh Rabba Bar Bachana. That refers to Rabba Bar Bachana, so that's how they refer to this whole dialogue regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we'll stop here. In a little bit of a confusing